time by singing our theme hymn, which is hymn number 238. We will enter into our Bethel service, and our morning resolve will be read by Brother John Peters, the vow unto the Lord by Brother Alan Springer, and our manna text will be read by Brother John Basilius. We'll sing this verse and remain seated throughout the singing of the verse and enter into the portion of our Bethel service. Hymn number 238, our theme hymn.
Morning resolve. My earliest thought, I desire, shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. Psalms 116:12-14. Remembering divine call, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Psalms 50:5. I resolve that by the Lord's assisting grace, I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows, continuing the work of sacrificing the flesh in its interest, that I may attain unto the heavenly inheritance and join heirship with my Redeemer. I will strive to be simple and sincere towards all. I will seek not to please and honor self, but the Lord. I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in great matters, but also in the little things of life. Trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust him, come what may.
A vow unto the Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy rule come into my heart more and more, and thy will be done in my mortal body. Relying on the assistance of thy promised grace to help in every time of need, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I register this vow. Daily will I remember at the throne of heavenly grace the general interests of the harvest work, and particularly the share which I myself am privileged to enjoy in that work, and the dear co-laborers everywhere. I vow to still more carefully, if possible, scrutinize my thoughts and words and doings to the intent that I may be the better enabled to serve thee and thy dear flock. I vow to thee that I will be on the alert to resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism, and that remembering that there are but the two masters, I shall resist these snares in all reasonable ways as being of the adversary. I further vow that with the exceptions below, I will at all times and in all places conduct myself towards those of the opposite sex in private exactly as I would do with them in public, in the presence of a congregation of the Lord's people. And so far as reasonably possible, I will avoid being in the same room with any of the opposite sex alone, unless the door to the room stand wide open. Exceptions in the case of brethren, wife, children, mother, and natural sisters. In the case of sisters, husband, children, father, and natural brothers.
The manna text for this morning found Romans 8 and 13. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The comments. The conditions upon which we may continue our relationship to the Lord and our hope for a share in the glories of the first resurrection are thus definitely stated to include mortification of the deeds of the body, restraining the fleshly inclinations, putting them to death, crucifying them, using them in the service of the Lord and His cause. Such mortification of the deeds of the body, such a battle against the weaknesses of the flesh, is what the apostle elsewhere speaks of as the warfare, when he tells us that the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit in turn warreth against the flesh. For the two are contrary, and will be opponents to the end of life. And if the spirit has been willing, and has fought to the best of its ability against the weaknesses of the flesh, the Lord will count the victory complete through the merit of the Redeemer. The text again, Romans 8:13, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
Brethren, we are very happy to have you with us this morning. We're very happy that, according to the Lord's many rich blessings and favors, that we have the opportunity again of gathering together in convention. And certainly we have much to be grateful for. And the theme text that we selected for our convention in its fullness is, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to give praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. I think many times the blessings of a convention, I know, are really appreciated to a great extent by brethren visiting, but even the blessings of a convention and the preparation of a convention is a great blessing to the brethren of a home ecclesia. And truly, I think we have all been looking forward to this time. We've always felt the a blessing from the brethren that visit with us, the messages that we've heard, the lessons the Lord has in store for us, and various other related facets. I might just let you in on some little experience that I had. Being a class chairman, it was my responsibility to see that we had a banner for our text. And it was only about a week ago that somebody asked me, did I ask Jim's Bick to make it? Because Jim usually makes it for us. At that time, where was Jim? Jim was on the West Coast, and I had forgotten to ask. So we really had, like they say, a real problem. First one I thought about was Bonnie Gaunt. And then we thought about several other alternative measures. What would we do? And so we left this with the Lord, and we called Bonnie, and Ralph answered the phone. And I explained the problem, and he says, sure, Bonnie can make it. And you see, I won't tell him what else he said, but you see what the Lord provided. And you see the chart, the banner that we have. Isn't it a work of beauty, a work of love? How grateful we can be to the Lord that He does provide for these things. The fact that the answer was so prompt. It just reminds me of one of my own failings, and that is sometimes the brethren will call on me for an emergency, and I suddenly feel, boy, I'm so ill-prepared, and I just can't do it. And how I shouldn't be that way, though, because if Bonnie was like that, here we'd be trying to put up some kind of letters or something and trying to do the best we could. And here, instead, we've got the best there is. We're grateful to the Lord for that. I'm sure that the convention will be a blessing in many ways. Many thoughts that can be suggested along this line. But my mind always returns back to a lesson that our pastor brought out in regards to the Feast of Tabernacles. The question was asked of him one time if conventions were profitable inasmuch as they reached the rich only. Years ago, evidently, very few brethren had means to get to conventions. Only the more prosperous were able to go. But he thought that they were a blessing even to those that were able to attend, and we know that they did have many conventions. Our day is different, but the answer is much in common. We know that many are not always able to attend regular meetings because of sickness or other reasons, and perhaps they can get out to a convention, which is a source of great blessing to them. And at a convention, we know that there's a time of refreshment, an opportunity to hear the truth. It's sort of like an oasis or a filling station, and we can recount the blessings that we receive. And the blessings that we receive, we also take home with us back to our brethren who have possibly been at other conventions or were unable to attend for some reason or another. Many texts suggest themselves to us when we think of the subject. Hebrews 10:25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And truly, we are living in times when it's necessary that we be reminded of these things continually. Malachi 3:16 also says, "Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name." Also in Matthew 18:20 it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We referred also to the experience that Israel had in the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles was a feature of the law in which the Israelites were to keep a week separate for a gathering or a celebration or a festival of thanksgiving to the Lord. They would dwell for a week in booths constructed of branches or trees. This occasion would remind them how they had been a people without a home, and how God had delivered them out of Egypt into Canaan. This yearly remembrance would produce thankfulness in their hearts and bring to their remembrance all of God's promises to them. And our conventions then can be viewed as a counterpart of this Feast of Tabernacles, only on a higher plane adapted to ourselves as spiritual Israelites. We do not live in tents or booths, yet our absence from our regular homes for a few days implies temporary dwelling places or tabernacles. Maybe some of the conditions aren't the way we would have them at home, and perhaps some of our brethren at home are sleeping on the floor or things of this sort, but it can remind us of our temporary residence or these inconveniences. And we can be reminded of the fact that our citizenship is in heaven, and our present sojourn is toward the heavenly Jerusalem. And everything at present is to be considered as temporary, and that we are only waiting for the eternal condition that God has promised. For the period of the entire 7 days, the Jews had a feast of good fellowship one with another. And this is what we enjoy too. Good fellowship with our brethren and refreshment from the Word of God. This is when the Jews also considered the word of the Lord. And their discussion was chiefly on the Lord and his goodness to them. So likewise, our discussion will be chiefly on His Word and our dealings with the Heavenly Father. We would endeavor to forget our everyday cares, discuss the various teachings and leadings of God in our lives. And we trust that this convention will prove to be the blessing it has been arranged for. It's our desire that it might be a stimulus to their brethren, to each of our faith, and that we may be able to serve the Lord more acceptably, that we might be strengthened in our many needs, whatever these might be, as the Lord in His providence and in His wisdom knows best. We're reminded of a text, I think, that bears mention at this time, and that is the words of our Lord in Luke 11:28. He says, "But He said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." May we not only be hearers, but doers. So I think this is the thought of our gathering together, so that we may be able to serve the Lord more acceptably and that we might honor and glorify His name. Now, we have made our various conventions arrangements. We won't have any announcements at the present time, but our first speaker will be Brother Geisinger.